This is a Bible teaching podcast from www.lumen.org.uk. That's lumin.org.uk. The presenter is Jeff Lumley.
Hello, and this time we're continuing with our walk through Romans chapter 1. We got to verse 20 last time. Let's read on to verse 23, but let's just pick up verse 20 to start ourselves off. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. So we are still thinking about the fact that God in creation is clearly seen. And yet these people that Paul is talking about in this letter, which, let's face it, is quite a large part of Western society, they knew God, but they chose not to glorify him, and they chose not to give thanks to him. Verse 21 starts with this phrase, for although they knew God. And, well, I suppose he's talking about the Jews, the people of Israel. He's talking about them. They were the ones who knew God, but they have moved to a point of choosing not to. And what we know about the first century, and I don't know if this was what was on Paul's mind or not, or what is on, I should say, the Holy Spirit's heart as this is written or not, is that there was the whole of Greek philosophy. And perhaps that just in the same way as what we call science today is taking over a large part of human thinking, so even the people of Israel, even the Jews, were being seduced by this men's wisdom teaching, which was Greek philosophy that was rife in the Roman Empire. So they knew God, but they chose to have different thinking. It's hard to say that the people of our world who are not Christians know God, but in the light of verse 20, you have to say, well, actually, they are without excuse. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And a picture that actually fascinates me is a composite satellite image of our Earth taken at night time. So obviously it is, as I say, a composite picture because it's not night time all across the world at the same time. But every part of the Earth is at night, and some of it is bright because of artificial light. So if you look at London, the place where London is on the Earth, you will just see a glowing white light. The same in New York, the same with European cities, the same across the world, and the bits of Australia, the sort of rim, the perimeter of Australia where the cities are, is bright. And do you know those places where those artificial lights shine? If you had a map which showed where God was no longer believed in, it would be roughly the same places. Where we have blanked out the night sky with artificial light down here so we cannot see the heavens at night, people have stopped believing in God because his creation is no longer as visible, perhaps. But we have this world which has placed science, and all science means is knowledge, it's placed human knowledge above the knowledge of God. And so men neither glorify God nor give thanks to him. And what does the Holy Spirit say here? It says, their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. So what's God's pronouncement on all this knowledge, on all this science? It's futile. Now, you know, you hear people say, like, I can't believe in the 21st century this is still happening, or this is still being thought of, or there's religion or whatever. But actually, God is saying, I can't believe that in the 21st century humanity, you are still so stupid. You are still ignoring me. Because all of these things, the whole sum of human knowledge gained without God, God's judgment on it in verse 21 is, sorry, in verse, yes, in verse 21 is, it is futile. It is pointless. It is of no value. And its foolish hearts, that's their desires, their passions are foolish, are darkened. They can no longer see the light at all. There is no light shining in their hearts. That's what futility is. There is no light shining in their hearts. They are turned off from God. That is such a description of Western culture. Now, thank God we hear that across the world there are many coming to faith, that across the world the gospel is a bright light shining in South America, in Asia, in Africa. There is a bright light shining and people are coming to faith in God, in Jesus. But in the culture I live in, and I suspect the culture you live in, if you're listening to this, it's not like that. We have this view that only science is right. And we have to follow the science, as they were telling us all the way through COVID. Their thinking has become futile, pointless, wasted, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And remember that God says what science should be revealing, what nature reveals, what creation reveals, is God's invisible qualities. As we look at creation, we should see clearly God's nature, God's qualities. These invisible qualities are understood from what has been made, so that we are without excuse. For all their darkened hearts and futile thinking, people are without excuse, because actually God made it clear. And someone who is a true scientist, if I may use that word scientist, someone who is a true knowledge studier, a true knowledge seeker, should look at creation and see God. And someone who looks at creation and chooses not to see God is a futile person. And yet in our society and culture, we elevate them and make them into gurus that we listen to and follow. Verse 22, although they claimed to be wise. You see, these men are, we are the wise ones. We know what we're talking about. Listen to us. They became fools. And God has them in derision. Where's that verse? I'll find it while I'm talking. That God has these people in derision. God is just laughing at them. While they claim to be wise, they have become fools. And they've exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images. What does that mean? Well, glory of the immortal God is an understanding of God. It's worshipping God. They've exchanged worshipping God for worshipping images. That's really what it's talking about, because the glory of God is what we worship, is how we worship Him. We just acknowledge His glory, and we give thanks to Him, and we praise Him. I can't find the verse I was thinking about. I'll tag it on at the end of the talk. And what do? They exchange the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like. And then we have a list of four things. And may I suggest that these four things go lower and lower and lower. It starts with mortal man. What is man in your memory? The son of man that you should think of him. You've made him just a little lower than angels. Or in fact, actually, for a little while you've made him lower than angels. But man's the pinnacle of God's creation. And so man is, if you like, we know he is the image. Jesus Christ is the image of the immortal God. And we have the image of Jesus. Or we can have. Humanity has the image of God. We were made in God's image. So if you like, we are just that one step down. We should be worshipping God. We've begun to worship man. Our culture certainly does that, doesn't it? It takes our eye, we take our eyes off God and we elevate people, be they sports stars or this group called celebrities or the scientists we've just been talking about. And we say, these are the ones we should follow. I will follow these people. And we actually begin to worship them, because worship means what you spend yourself on. Worship means what you give yourself to. And so we worship those whom we follow. These days it costs dozens and dozens and dozens of pounds or whatever currency you have to go to watch a music star, or to go to watch theatre or even sport. We spend ourselves on worshipping these people. But then one level down, if you like, is birds who are in the air. They're in the heavens. They're flying around. And it says, okay, you can worship that which is in the air, which is one level down. And there are people who worship birds, he was saying. And then one level lower, four-footed animals. The Greek here is quadruped. Well, that's the anglicized, that's the English version of it. It's tetrapods, I think, is the Greek. Quadrupeds. You worship animals. And then it goes down, and the NIV has reptiles. The actual Greek is creepy things. And actually, the word is usually translated as serpents. And that is the heart of where human worship is being sucked to, isn't it? It's that serpent from the garden, revealed in Revelation to be the dragon, to be Satan. And it's saying, you start off taking your eyes off God and you start by worshipping other men. You start by worshipping people. And then you move down to birds and then down to animals. And finally, you're worshipping the serpent. Where is our culture? What are we worshipping? Are we still worshipping people, or have we slipped down? And there are different people at different stages, I am sure. And of course, the quadrupeds, the animals, are the beasts. And again, in the Bible, worshipping the beast, it's wrong. Human beings were given dominion over the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the beasts of the land. We were given dominion over the beasts. Daniel reveals, Revelation amplifies the fact that the beasts come to have dominion over man. The beast has dominion over man. And that happens because we begin to worship beasts. And finally, the devil. So this is part of the whole story of the Bible, how our thinking gets confused and futile. Our eyes are off Jesus, are off God, and we begin to worship that which is not God. And our worship goes down, and as our worship goes down, we are dragged down with it. And we come to the image of that which we worship. We're called to be the image of Christ. We're called to be the image of God, for we worship him. We are becoming like him. We reflect his glory. We reveal his image on the world, to the world. But if you worship something less than God, you will become like what you worship. And in the end, if you're worshipping the serpent, you become like the serpent, creeping around, crawling around on the ground with all the evil of Satan guiding your life. And God's pronouncement is that this is futile and foolish and dark. So as we've worked through Romans chapter 1, and we're about two-thirds of the way through, we have seen where we should be. We've seen where we should be. The gospel reveals a righteousness from God, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. But the wrath of God is revealed against godlessness, and godlessness leads to a foolish heart which is darkened, and you begin to worship that which is lower and lower and lower and darker and darker and darker. Where is our culture today? There are people at every level of that descent. Where is our culture? We've certainly had the celebrity worship culture, the worshipping of man and the worshipping of scientists. Have we gone lower? How do we bring it back? Well, that's really what Paul writes about in the whole of Romans, isn't it? How we come back to God. We need to pray. We need to proclaim. And we need to stand up. And I say that as someone who probably isn't doing those things. But we need to challenge ourselves to come to a point of declaration. Just to finish with, the verse I mentioned earlier was actually Psalm 2, verse 4 in the NIV. It's the one enthroned in heaven laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. It's in the Authorized Version, the King James Version. It says the Lord has them in derision. And this is talking about the nations conspiring and the peoples plotting in vain. The kings of the earth rise up, the rulers band together against the Lord, against his anointing, and say, let us break their chains, throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Their thinking is futile.
He's forgiven you. Ooh. How can you doubt that he loves you?
The music is by graceforall.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening.